Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Big three at three, and there is no bigger story in Houston than this right now. This is dropping from the Houston Chronicle this morning. Governor Greg Abbott is shutting down all bars in Texas immediately and reducing occupancy at restaurants on Monday as the state grapples with an unrelenting spike in COVID-19 cases that plagued the state for the last month. Abbott said restaurants will have to return to 50% of their maximum occupants to be there. The standard the state had placed on June 12th when he had allowed them to move to 75% post-June 12th. In addition, he is giving local governments new authority to regulate gatherings over 100 people, which would allow them to order groups to get permits before having an event. And finally, I know this is something Clint is wanting. He is shutting down river rafting activities.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been a lot of cases linked as a surge in Hayes County. And is that Comal County, just over a week. So cases have doubled in those counties. So.
Yeah, look, I mean, as they open up, they're going to be there's going to be large gatherings for sure on the river in terms of floating the river. This is one of those for me, show. I'm not a floater. My floating days are over. Not a big floater. So assuming they don't just completely do away with any kind of river activity. Like, I can't take my lawn chair out there and sit in the water and drink a few cold Coors Lights with my lady. As long as they don't take that from me, I'm gonna be all right. In fact, when I look at it, I go, hey man, you're gonna keep the river quiet for me? You're not gonna allow all these young cats to just come floating by and
throw it. So you're good with it. See, I thought you'd be a little hurt that you can't.
Well, I gotta dig into the specifics of it, show, and figure out what exactly. When I hear river rafting activities, that doesn't tell me all river activities. Like, I can't go sit in the river in my lawn chair. You know what I mean? Like, that's the deal. Is if the rafting activities being shut down means that river's going to have less traffic on it, and there's going to be less of them whistling at my gal and trying to steal my beer and that kind of thing.
They whistle that low?
Oh, yeah. Hey, come on, man. On that river, boy, it's like Mardi Gras in the water sometimes, man. You got to watch them. Got to watch them young cats. But if this shutting down river rafting activities means it's going to be a little quieter for your boy over the 4th of July, put my toes in that river, I'm all in, baby. Do your work. Do work, Abbott. Do work.
Yeah, he's And really, to the real case of this is not something they wanted to do. Financially, we've heard, we've talked about these bar industries have been hurt. These restaurant industries have been hurt.
Yeah.
And they've been able to be open to try to recoup some of what they've lost. And now these bars and clubs have to shut down completely. Restaurants, 50%. We started to feel like we were getting to a step towards normalcy, and now we got to come back. And the thing that we hear a lot is the mask and be more coachable, as we talked about. And I think we have been lax. I know I've been lax And it's something that we need to get serious about again.
Yeah, and I think this is, I mean, this is one of those deals that I know for me personally, when they start opening bars back up and clubs to the point, I remember seeing a tweet from a buddy of mine about one of the country bars, clubs around here opening back up. And I thought, man, that's interesting. That's surprising. And when those things start happening, yeah, you naturally let your guard down a little bit and kind of get back to some kind of normalcy. And so I think this is just a reminder to everybody that's out there listening that things are spiking and this is a real problem. And when they lock the doors on bars and clubs, I think it immediately I mean, I know the way I understand it is, hey, this is serious. It's serious business. So be coachable. Lock this thing back down. Pull the reins back a little bit and enjoy a couple of Coors Lights while you're at it.
Big 3 at 3, number 2.
That's right, Big 3 at 3, Ron. The show, Hughley, Clint Sterner in with you. These stories you need to know right now. And as of today, we know the baseball season is starting up. We know they're going to start up July 1st, and we know the season will be either on the 23rd or the 24th. But today, teams are allowed to make trades in baseball.
Yeah.
Today is the day where the Astros could look around and try to make additions with teams and make deals with teams. That is going to be something really to monitor. The trade deadline ends August 31st this year. And I'm looking at the Astros, Clint, and I'm wondering, what is it that they need? What is it that they should be looking at, and what type of trades? Because we heard the owner the other day said, we'll do what it takes to try to win this year.
Well, yeah, with every game being more valuable in a shortened season, and this is already an organization, Jim Crane-led organization, that I would allow that he's got GM James Click out in the streets doing work, you know what I mean? Yeah. And this is an organization that likes to move and shake. And when I look at all the things that are this season in Major League Baseball, with it being shortened, I would expect a more aggressive Astros organization in terms of acquiring players. And when you ask where, I would go with starting pitching. You know, I think you could also go with some kind of middle relief.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing with the middle relief aspect of it is you've got starters right now, that guys that are at least slated to be in the mix for one of the starting spots and be in the starting rotation, that if they're not in it, Josh James, if he's not in the starting rotation, then he will be in your middle relief. You've got guys that are on the cusp of being starters or middle relievers, whereas you've got your top two are two of your top three starters in Verlander coming off the surgeries and the strain of the lat and McCullers. We talked earlier, you don't know what you're going to get from him. So if the Astros are going to get aggressive and they're going to make a move, and I had to pinpoint one particular position, it would be another arm starter, workhorse in this league. Maybe not Greinke, maybe not Verlander, that caliber guy, but a workhorse.
Wade
that has
Miley
experience.
Before he fell apart.
Wade before the wheels fell. Wade, it's funny you say Wade. Wade would be a monster in his 60-game season.
You love that, though. You love Wade. The way he started last year, yeah.
Hey, if I could get pre-wheels coming off Wade Miley, yeah, I'll take him for a 60-game season.
To me.
Hell yeah.
To me, I guess maybe I shouldn't say middle relief. Somebody, another piece in front of Osuna. Or Roberto, as you would say.
There you go.
See in front
there?
Of and
come on,
Osuna.
Kansas City.
I like Ryan Priestley, but somebody, another power arm that you could come out in the seventh or the eighth to set up for Roberto.
There you go. I'll take it.
That to me, or in catcher. Like Martin Maldonado is nice, and I watched him in the first half of the season last year a lot in Kansas City, but. If you could upgrade at catcher, that would be, to me, catcher and a real setup guy in the seventh or the eighth, to me, will be something I think the Astros look at, because the lineup, I think they're fine, in most part, except for maybe catcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, I do.
Big 3 at 3, number 3.
All right, Big 3 at 3, Clint Sterner and the show, the big stories you need to know at 3 o'clock, and Clint, the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association said 16 players have tested positive for the coronavirus in their first wave of mandatory tests done in preparation for the restart of the season. Those 16 players were part of a pool of 302 tested on Tuesday. That is a 5.3% rate of positive tests league-wide. So out of 302 players, 16 were tested, not understanding who those players are. We did see Malcolm Brogdon of the Pacers tested positive, and we know Nikola Jokic tested positive for the coronavirus for the Denver Nuggets. But 16, it should be interesting to see how many of those guys get tested. I bet you 16 of those guys didn't even know they had.
Yeah, I would bet that those guys are asymptomatic. But when you look at that number, 5.3%, I mean, that's a low number, I would think, right? I mean, when you test 302 athletes, you would think guys coming from all over, they've been all over the country. You know, that 5.3% rate has to be a positive look for the NBA in terms of their return, show. So, also, with the NBA, real quick, show, they tonight – schedule release.
Schedule release on who and who the, we'll see who the Rockets will play. We'll see the schedule release. They got 8 games left in the regular season, and then from there, like we said, that is important. All right, we've talked about the players that may be lost, but that is important because the Rockets right now are the 6th seed, and behind them are the Mavs. They have the same amount of wins as the Mavs. They just have the Mavericks just have 2 or 3 more losses. The 7th seed is not out of the possibility, and the 7th seed would be the Clippers. That would be the team the Rockets would play in the first round of the playoffs. So these 8 games can't just be a, let's just fool around and try it thing. They've got to get real in these 8 games.
Yeah, man, that's going to be fun tonight. I'll be locked in on that for sure to see exactly who they play. Man, it's been so damn long since we've had live sports in terms of the Big Three, football, baseball, or basketball, that – I mean, I'm stoked about simply a schedule release, show.
No, yeah, a schedule release, and I'm gonna keep my eye. It's crazy. We're seeing more Dodgers and Twins report they have players tested positive. It'll be interesting in the NBA once they get there. How many guys? I heard Payne and Pendergast discussing this earlier. Of man, it should be a matter of just when a high profile player comes down with this. And they'll have to miss some time. Like the odds are that a LeBron or Kawhi or Anthony Davis or James Harden or any like Russell, if the odds are there,
you better get to some Rockets and do some knocking. You over knocking on them Lakers? Love for LeBron, knocking on them Lakers.
I'm knocking.
You better
on
get
all
to that Rocket
players.
Red, baby.
I'm knocking on all the great players.
Oh, okay,
don't want to see any of them. Russ, James. The odds are we're going to see one of them test positive and probably miss important games.
The idea is if they get to that bubble safely and clean, then they're you got to believe that they're in a good spot to play the season without too many concerns. The key is getting to the bubble, right? I mean, if you can just get there, I would think that the NBA in a bubble would be able to control it a lot better than right now where these guys are all over the country practicing. Going home to their families, and in different states where obviously the virus is spiking. So just get to the bubble, man, and hopefully they can do that before too many more players test positive.
Yeah, get to the bubble. The bubble just had 9,000 cases happen in their state in one day, a record. So get to Florida, folks. NBA players, Russ, James, get to Florida. Hopefully you get there and you can keep yourself safe. All right, coming up, I need you to help me out here, Clint. I need you to help me understand. I listened to Chris Sims give a breakdown about Deshaun Watson, and there were a couple of things in there where I'm like, Clint, I'm going to need you to help me with this. We'll get into that coming up next. Welcome back in, Clint Sterner and the show back in with you. I was listening to Chris Sims and – and Clint, I'll say this first. I want to play this song. I want to play this song that Chris Sims said that did about Deshaun Watson. It's called Watson's Freaking Awesome. I want to play I want to play this song first. And I want, I want you and Bridget to listen to this song first. And we don't have to go on with this segment. We could do something else different. It's this lame. Chris Sims is this lame. And I will understand it, the two of you. If you all don't want to go on with this segment, I think he's got some good stuff. But this is so lame. I'll stop it right here. This is Chris Sims' song for Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome. Ooh. Okay. Deshaun Watson. Ooh. Okay. Is so freaking awesome. Okay.
Chris, God, man.
That's I mean, why? That's the, that, see, this is what
you ought to be embarrassed for your race. I'm just going to say it.
That is embarrassing. That's the white guy that can't dance that's out in the middle of the dance floor, and you're like, bro, stay on the wall. Like, I mean, you're cool cat, man. You got a chance. Everything's cool, but you shouldn't be out in the middle of the dance floor doing it. Like, if you're Chris Sims, you should never attempt to rap. He is corny as they come.
Watson is so freaking awesome.
The word freaking, too. The word freaking really rubs me wrong.
Can we hear it one more time? Let me get that one more time, because that is just
freaking.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome. Ooh.
That's my part.
Okay. Deshaun Watson. Ooh. Okay. Is so freaking awesome. Okay.
Your ass is almost out of here.
You know, you want to know why.
Boy, he tore up the University of Texas when he was there, boy.
He didn't tear up nothing. I was just fixing to say, 6'5", good looking, University of Texas. You can rip it. No wonder it didn't work out. No wonder it was a flop. I mean, come on, Chris. Come on, man.
I tried to warn you. Like I said, if you want to talk about Jose Altuve or something else, I'll understand, because that was so bad. Because it's hard to even take anything he says serious after that. It really is.
Yeah, but, no, yeah, it's very it's difficult for me anyway, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult after that, I agree.
Yeah, but all right.
Let's
give it a shot. Because he did have some good things, right? So he started talking about Deshaun's weaknesses, Clint, and we've heard some things. I don't know that I've heard this one before in particular, and I would love to get your thoughts on what he says. This is Chris Sims today on NBC Pro Football Talk talking about Deshaun's weaknesses.
Now, things he can improve on, Mike, that I think just jump out to me. You know, there's some polish to his game, I think. First off, I think he could be a little bit better of a short to intermediate passer when I break him down and really go back and look at him that way. And also, Mike, there's some times, and you probably know this by watching Deshaun Watson, there's times where I feel like he might leave the pocket a hair too early, or sometimes even hang in there too long, and just too many sacks or throwaways for a guy as good as he is and as talented as he is. And I think those are the little things right now that, to me, keep him at number 4 and maybe not in the top 3. As we know, he's one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah, that's Chris Sims. He did his ranking for top 40 quarterbacks. He had Deshaun Watson 4 behind Mahomes and Rodgers and
Russ.
Rodgers was 2, Russell 3, and then he was 4. When he said short throws, that jumped out to me. I've heard the holding the ball too long and the set, but the short throws he struggles with, and it jumped at me, because I thought, like, one of the big things that could be taken advantage of in this offense is the Johnson boys out of the backfield and taking advantage of matchups on short throws. Is that thought to be an issue for him, short throws?
Yeah, short throws definitely, but I don't think it's an issue in terms of the ability to make those throws. I think it's more along the lines of, there's a big difference between NFL offenses and what Deshaun Watson had a tremendous amount of success with at Clemson. And so when you look at it, it's more about knowing where to go with the football and trusting that read and trusting your eyes and taking the football there. Make quick decisions, get you a good pre-snap read, commit to it, get through progressions, be a distributor. All of those things are quarterback 101 things that's got to be learned. You got to teach it. You got to train it. You've got to experience it, good and bad, and you've got to continue to try to get better. But that's, to me, that's not a.
So it's a read thing.
It's a read thing. Yeah, I mean, you can watch a quarterback play and you watch his eyes and watch his feet, and if he's getting through progressions, you can see him get through progressions with his feet, and then when it's time to pull the trigger, he's in a good, stable, on platform position, and he drives the football. I mean, it's Deshaun gets caught way too many times either not knowing where to go with the football, not getting through the progression, or relying and waiting on DeAndre Hopkins to get open. So that there's plenty of reason behind it. But to me, when I look at the short throws, I agree that that's got to get better. He's got to get more crisp. He's got to commit to those decisions and get the ball out quicker. And this offense will take off. But it's more about Deshaun knowing where to go with the football and trusting the read, trusting the offense, and going there with it. I think it's more of a mental game than it is a physical ability to actually make those throws accurately.
Because, see, that would make you nervous to think, like, we've talked about it. He's one of the best, and you think one of the best downfield throwers.
There's no question
of the ball. And hell, it's proven. PFF had him only second behind Russell Wilson is the best by the numbers deep ball thrower of the ball over 20 yards last season. And I mean, as I say, if it's a physical thing that he can't make throws on to intermediate routes, yeah, that's scary. Maybe that is a reason why Will Fuller hasn't been able to be as effective on routes inside 15 yards. But your thought is it's more upstairs pre-snap reading things.
Yep.
Is that something that he's got to fix, or is that something more that he's got to fix, or the offense needs to improve in terms of the polos, but
yeah,
improving, setting that up
for him? I mean, I think ultimately it's on Deshaun to get it done. I mean, he's a professional quarterback that's fixing to make $40 million a year. I mean, he's got to surround himself with people that understand, like, you're here because of your strengths, to stretch the field with your arm, your ability to ad-lib, your ability to run the rock and go make plays, obviously all the intangibles, but the people in his life need to make sure that they are constantly harping on his weaknesses and making sure that he's sharpening his weaknesses. I mean, if I were with Deshaun Watson, the only thing we would talk about is getting through progressions and getting the ball out on time and getting a good pre-snap read and taking what the defense gives you. You work those things, you make it habit, you put yourself in that train of thought, and then you just go play ball on Sundays. You're never going to – Deshaun's always going to be big stage, bright lights. He's going to perform. He's going to pull the trigger. He's going to be Deshaun Watson. It's the first drive of the game, and you got a corner that's 8 yards off and pedaling on Fuller. You got to get Fuller the hitch. Just take the damn hitch. I don't care what else is going on the field. Just take the hitch. Take it. Keep the drive alive. Let's roll. And Deshaun's, he's got to get better at those things mentally. It's all about mentally knowing where to go with the football. So it's on Deshaun's show, ultimately. But if the coaching staff over there is not developing him and harping on those specific things on a daily basis, then they're failing him as well. Ultimately, when you're a $40 million quarterback, you got to get it done. You got to overcome coaching. You've got to overcome deficiencies. You got to figure things out on your own. But it's just very easy to watch these quarterbacks nowadays. Pat Mahomes, we talked about him earlier. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. It's easy to watch those guys and go, oh, man, you won 14 games last year, man. Let's just go play ball. And in reality, they should be sharpening and honing their skills in terms of their weaknesses to become that more well-rounded quarterback. And Deshaun is in that group. He's got to do it.
Clint Sterner in the show here until 6 o'clock. Clint, I found this really interesting from Mike Florio, who was on there with Chris Sims, and he was discussing his ability in terms of rushing the football and how potentially it should be used. This is Florio on Watson running the football.
One of the things that I've always been impressed by from Deshaun Watson dating back to his rookie year, he's not Mike Vick. He's not Lamar Jackson from the standpoint of that extra gear. But he just knows how to weave through and avoid getting tackled. There's just enough elusiveness that within the confines of the guys who are out there, he knows how to work his way through them. I'd like to see him protect himself a little bit more. He takes a few too many hits, but when he does hang on to the ball a little bit too long, when he does treat that play like it's the last play of the Super Bowl, some special things can happen, and we've seen it.
Think about what he just said, right? To me, when I hear that, I hear a guy like he takes too many hits, not because you're using him in a fashion of he's running the ball, but because you're from the pocket, you haven't protected him, right? And from the pocket, he's not extremely comfortable in times. If hop's not there, if the first read's not there, a lot of times he drops his eyes and sees the rush. And so to me, when I hear that is you got a quarterback that's taking hits anyway, and you're trying to protect him by not running him, running the ball with him early in games. Enough with the protection stuff. Get him involved in your designed run game early in games. Trust the fact that he's going to protect himself. He's going to get down. Russell Wilson doesn't have a problem in that category. Smart. That's what I'm talking about. Once or twice in the first half, establish that threat, and then you throw the football off of it. And so when I first heard that, I thought, you know what? Number one, you're right. Number one, there's no doubt about it. He has a knack for making plays with his feet and getting down and not taking tremendous hits. Where he gets hit too much is in the pocket when he's hanging on a receiver. He's not getting through his progression. He's not taking that obvious outlet right now, whether it's a back like you talked about or it's a soft corner pedaling, whatever it may be. You've got to get the ball out. You got to take those give me's. You got to make layups. You got to make free throws in the game of the NFL game, and the shots will continue to come. And actually, truth be told, show the shots will be easier. The shots will come easier if he'll take advantage of the underneath stuff early.
From the text line from the 281, if y'all ever play that again, I will stop listening to the show.
I agree. I second that, brother.
Chris Sims. No, it's just that don't make you laugh when you hear it.
No, it embarrasses me.
It makes me laugh. All right, coming up, Clint. I was listening to the best damn sports midday show in all of Houston, and the boys, Landry and Lopez, had a really interesting debate, and I want to dive into it. They said whose championship would be more impressive if they won it in 2020, the Rockets or the Astros? I think it's a really easy answer. We'll get into that coming up next. That's right, fill them up, but fill them up at home, folks. All bars and clubs are closed in the state of Texas. That from Governor Abbott earlier today. But we will, as of now, have baseball and basketball. And Clint, I was listening. You know, I'm a loophole. I listen.
Sure.
I know you do. We listen driving in. You were working out, and I was eating.
They piss me off on a daily basis.
Yep. As I said, you were working out, listening to it. I was eating. doing what we do. Don't laugh that hard in my face, Bridget.
Well, you can still do the old heel click, though. You did the heel click on the way down here. That was impressive.
The
vert is still there, man. Yeah, you can click the heels. I thought you were going to hurt yourself, but you did. It was a good job.
With the backpack on as well, it's a little heavy, so the vert was still there.
I saw the top part of your crack, by the way, when you jump.
Well, I told you, Clint.
Every time.
It's something you'll learn about me, man. I've got an extremely high crack.
Damn refrigerator.
High or long?
Same. High and long.
High and long.
I just thought you
kind of jumped and your old britches was down a little bit. I didn't realize you got an extra long crack.
A high one. Got a high and long one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just what the
a
good
high,
Lord blessed
long
me
crack.
With.
Huh?
Got a good Lord bless me with the longest crack in America. A couple of things he's just put me on. I sweat.
I am disgusted.
I mean, old high crack usually comes with a track ass. Well, I mean, what happened?
I'm just telling you, man. The Lord has blessed me with a lot of great things, a beautiful wife. Children.
Hey, she likes long cracks. So
good
be
looking,
it, man.
Good looking face, you know, for the most
Hold
part.
Up. Hey.
Shut the hell up, Bridget. But a couple of things he did screw me over with. I sweat profusely just underneath my armpits and ruin shirts daily. I have one of the longest cracks in America, and I have one of the top probably 120 man boob issues in America. I try to call them soft pecs to make me feel better about
myself.
There you go. But that's just what I'm dealing with.
I mean, at least you own it. You own the large crack. I mean, yeah, not large crack, long crack. Yeah, high and long.
Yeah, in a game of spades, the Lord gave me four spades. Now, one of them's an ace. But
hey, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I've never had a conversation with another man about how long and high his crack is. But yeah. So first time for everything.
I told you earlier this week, man. That's what I'm dealing with.
Well, you did the old leprechaun heel tap, and I didn't.
Came on up.
Came on out,
you, man. Yep, my draws are at normal length. My ass crack is not. Plumber was never going to be my gig, ever. That's what the Lord has blessed me with. All right, I put it out on the table. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, at least you own your faults. That's fine.
That's right. Long crack, soft pecs. That's Hughley.
That's Hughley.
That's show for you.
I guess old Courtney likes long cracks. Long and high cracks do it for
couldn't
you, huh, Court?
Couldn't resist it.
Hell, I don't blame
her. Well, I held it for about 3 years from her, and then that's not true.
How'd you hide your crack from your girl for 3 years?
I got ways. Never turn around, huh?
Never turn around. You backed out of the old room,
yeah, just
huh?
Backed out. Just give her all front, baby. I'm proud of the front now.
You stay right there, girl. You stay right there. You just backpedal on out.
Yeah,
look like Deion Sanders backpedaling out of the room.
Yeah, the Lord blessed me with the front now. Anyway, no, so I was listening to I'm a loophole. I'm a loophole.
Prime time. Prime time peddler.
I was listening to I'm going to get us back on track, I promise. I was listening to In the Loop, and they were discussing, which I thought was interesting. They said, all right, we got basketball and baseball starting up with the Rockets and the Astros. If the Rockets or Astros won the title in their respective sports, which would be more impressive? And I disagreed with both of them. Now, they had really, really good points. And, you know, I'll play them. I'll have Bridget play it here herself. Let's get Lopez first, because they go with the Astros, and I think it's the Rockets, and it's not hard. But here's Lopez first. He thinks the Astros would be a more impressive title.
I think an Astros championship not only would not be diminished, it would be, I think it's actually more impressive. I think it's more impressive than 162. I think it would be more impressive than their 2017 championship, to be honest. I think it would be one of the most impressive World Series runs in baseball history. It, not only would it not be diminished, it would be enhanced as one of the best championships ever. Rockets is a little different. It's still impressive because, as we often say here, you know, everybody on the same page, everybody in the same rules, everybody playing the same league, everybody playing the same playoffs. It's a little different format.
And that's Lopez. Hey, Lopez said it'd be one of the most impressive runs to a title ever in Major League Baseball, and more impressive than their run in 17, which I actually agree. I think it will be difficult as well. And before we get into it, here is let's get Landry. Landry, and we'll get to his hating ass a little bit later on in the segment. But here is Landry and his thoughts on what would be more impressive.
I'll say this. I think you can make a case that if the Houston Astros, with this unpredictable format, are able to win a World Series, I think you can put this at the top of the list. I think you can put this even ahead of 2017 as how great it is. If they're able to do it, I think it would be the most impressive championship that we've ever seen. While I think the Rockets would be impressive, and I think you can make cases more impressive given their situation, I do think because they are the sixth seed and because they do get to avoid road games or having to travel on the road as much as they would, specifically if they get past the first round facing one of the Los Angeles teams in the second round, I think you'd have to put it at the back of the list, although I think it would still be impressive. It still is a championship, but it would be behind those two Rockets titles and behind that Astros 2017.
Yeah, man, I think both of them would be impressive, but the Rockets, to me, if they won the title this year, I don't think we need to overcomplicate it here. The Astros may be the best team in baseball. The Rockets are the sixth seed. There are three teams that are clearly, to me right now, better than the Houston Rockets. I think the Lakers are clearly better. I think the Clippers are clearly better. I think the Bucks are clearly better. And I'm telling you, the Boston Celtics, when they're fully right, they got four guys that can go and get 20 a night, right? So I like them a lot. Man, I just – the six-seed team – that part to me, they would be more impressive because when you watch basketball, seven-game series, generally the best team wins.
Yeah, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a baseball team that you would look at and go, man, they're just built different than the Astros. I understand there's teams that may have another one more impressive starter in the rotation, or they may have better middle relief, or they may have a better close. I get that. There's ways to go, well, this team has the edge because of this or that. But when you look at the NBA, the top three teams that you mentioned are built totally different. I mean, they play a different style of ball. They put a more dominant performance on the court for the year that led up to the coronavirus pandemic. And so just from being built, the personnel, the roster, they got to be more confident and more strong in what it is they do. What is their identity? They've got a plan. And when you look at the Rockets, they're built totally different. They're smaller. The scheme is a roll of the dice. I'm with you, Show. I would go with the Rockets. I would think that would be more impressive. Obviously, they're not the best team in the league. They're not one of the best teams in the league. And if anybody picked them, if you picked your top five, I bet the Rockets would be left out of some of those.
Maybe. Yeah.
And so when you look at it, I agree with you. I think the Rockets run would be much more impressive, and I think it would be more impressive than, golly, man.
Well, right now they're the sixth seed. The 95 Houston Rockets have been a higher seed, the sixth or higher, has ever won the title. So they would be tying the record right now.
Yeah, and when you look at it, even in 95. I mean, yeah, they were the sixth seed.
But they had the best player.
Yeah, they had the best player in the league, but also they were the sixth seed because they had been injured throughout the year because they got off to a slow start.
Yeah, the Rockets have earned this sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, they have earned this sixth seed. It wasn't because of injuries. They have earned this sixth seed. And so, yeah, I mean, I would think that this would be an awfully impressive Rockets win. And I think if you're looking at a Rockets championship versus an Astros championship in 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic seasons, I would be more impressed if the Rockets were able to make a run and knock off LeBron and Giannis and Kawhi. If they could knock off those caliber teams and win a championship, play in this small ball, which they switched to 15
That's
games
a really
ago.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be impressive.
Yeah, 713-572-4610. Where are you at? What would be more impressive? I think there's a part with the Astros. The Astros going through all of the scandal thing. We've talked about it. 60 games compared to 162 games changes it drastically. And baseball can be fluky. But for me, give me the team that has the best team. Give me that lineup. Give me those starters and Osuna, and I'll try to figure out all of the other stuff you're going to go through. As you said, think about it. If the Rockets won the title, you can see it, right? And as I've said, most cases, there are some outliers there. I don't know what happened with LeBron and the Miami Heat when they lost to the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know what happened there. Generally, the best team wins. Golden State, when Baron Davis was there as an 8 seed, beat a really good number 1 seed Dallas Mavericks. But generally, in a 7-game series, the best team wins, and that happens in the NBA. They, to me, that run you just said, if they played the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks all in 7-game series, and they won with two stars who calling card is not coming up big when it matters,
yep.
As you said, in a small ball, that would be one of the most impressive runs of any team.
Yeah, and you add, no fans in the stands, in the bubble. I mean, the whole thing is they would both be very impressive, but the Rockets, to me, are where it's at, man. Right now, if they prove that the small ball thing can work, and if Harden proves that he can get over the hump and not just be a great scorer, but lead a team to a championship, if Westbrook gets over the hump and joins his partner in crime in James Harden and gets over the hump and wins a championship, this would be big for the Rockets.
Yeah, 713-572-4610. You can call and text in. What's your thoughts? Which would be more impressive, the Rockets winning a championship in 2020 or the Astros? This from the text line 281, and I think a lot of people feel this way. The Rockets would be more impressive, but the Astros would be more satisfying.
Ooh, that's a good point.
I think a lot of people feel
that's a good point. Great point.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, obviously Bridget feels that way. I think a lot of people feel that way because of the sign-stealing thing. And as I said, if they could go through the Yankees and the Dodgers, people would be busting through the seams for that one.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I would be more impressed with the Rockets. I would definitely be more satisfied with the Astros dunking on MLB and the commissioner The Yankees and the Red Sox and everybody else who was taking shots.
Yes, because they would be all over that. No, yeah, like I said, I don't want to diminish how impressive it would be if the Astros went there and they were able to win. Because they are, they are up against it. They are up against it. But as I said, I would always take the team that has the best. That the best team to me would always be someone that would reign supreme. Give me Bregman, give me Altuve, give me all of that. And I would go in there.
¿Por qué no los dos?
I don't even know what that means.
Why not both?
Why not both? Is that what that means?
You've never seen that little girl in the soft taco commercial where it's like, should we do soft tacos or hard tacos?
The soft taco commercial.
You've never seen it. I'm going to send it to you.
It's a soft taco commercial? There's not even a brand? Is it Taco Bell?
It's Old El Paso.
It's Old El Paso?
Yeah.
The soft taco commercial? Good hell, Bridget.
What? It's iconic. Why not both in Spanish? ¿Por qué no los dos?
Text line. Is that iconic? I've never heard of it. Clint stunned. He doesn't know what the hell. Is that iconic?
Where was it from? What's the name of the restaurant?
It's the hard shelled taco.
Oh, that you buy in the grocery store.
Yes, that you buy in the grocery store. Remember, they're holding. They're like, oh, should we have hard tacos or should we have soft tacos? And then she goes, ¿por qué no los dos? And then they're all like cheering and they like are like. Putting their on their shoulders.
I ain't never heard.
Look it up. It's hilarious. It's an iconic commercial.
You're saying iconic.
It is.
The Budweiser frogs is iconic.
How about the Clydesdales?
The Clydesdales are iconic. The dog in Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
Quiero Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
The Geico guys, iconic. What was that?
The Geico's a lizard.
You know, the Geico commercial.
How about you meant the Allstate guy?
Yeah, the Allstate, those are iconic. The guy who always cheats on black women in movies.
Who's that? The Allstate guy.
he cheated on Whitney and Waiting to Exhale.
I didn't know that. I didn't recognize that. But okay.
He's also Pedro Serrano from Major League.
Yes, we're talking about the same guy. Didn't know he was a cheater.
Yeah, he cheats. He has this for some reason. He cheats on women.
Fair enough. I don't know how he went from hard tacos and soft tacos to him cheating on women, but I like it.
I think it was Bridget. Hold on, man. I gotta go.
Show. I was going to ask you if you heard this earlier. I was going to ask you if you heard this.
Listen.
Just telling you, man.
Listen, you know he has to hate at least once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. And that's Landry Locker, Landry the Hater Locker, who has to hate once or twice a week. And for some reason, he wanted to run down my state championship that I won. And he said some very disrespectful things that caused me to run in. Some very disrespectful things. And he hadn't researched a damn thing and don't know nothing. Here's Landry hating again.
My man that follows us up after, Ron the Show Hughley. I think they won a state championship, if I'm not mistaken. I've heard him mention it.
Show?
I think so.
Not a baby.
I mean, but let's be honest, it's in freaking Kansas. Like, winning a football championship in Kansas is
come on. That's like hockey in Austin.
Yeah, that's.
You know, come on now. That's like.
That's like winning a skiing championship, skiing championship in
Texas. I'm the College Station.
Miami.
Yeah, I'm the College Station cross-country skiing champ. Football in Kansas. Come on. Come on. What are you doing?
Wow. What is that?
Is that like winning a game in district here?
Exactly.
Give me a break, Show.
Wow. Hey, Show, There was a laugh from the gut by Lopez,
right?
Too.
Yes.
And he brought skiing into the cross country skiing into the mix.
We had Woody and Buzz Lightyear laughing it up again. And don't worry, I heard you too, Mr. Potato Head back there, Biggie, out here. All of Toy Story. If you hadn't heard, go look. Landry wears the big ass cowboy boots that makes him look like Woody from Toy Story. Listen. I'm not going to just act like have y'all. First off, one thing, let me get something straight. You don't know what you talk about. Don't mix up people from Kansas or Missouri. That's a serious thing. All right? I don't walk around here saying Lopez is from Humble because I know that's disrespectful and that's not how you pronounce it. Don't mess with people. 816-913 is a serious thing. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, Jack. 816, don't tell me I'm from Kansas. That's a different thing, but of course you don't know. That's disrespectful as hell, all right? My wife wouldn't even look at a house in the state of Kansas, so chill out. And second, I ain't gonna make you act like Missouri or Kansas is Havana, Cuba when it comes to football. We got football players, all right? We got the starting
Jeff
quarterback.
Jeff City was a powerhouse back in the day.
We got the starting quarterback. For the Denver Broncos, is from Kansas City, and Drew Locke.
You hated him before.
I hate
before
his guts.
Today.
I hate his guts. I do. It's, you know, sports hate. We got Darren Sproles. Brandon Lloyd was a hell of an athlete. There were seven guys who went D1 on my state championship team. And as a freshman, there were nine. A couple of Nebraska, K-State, Missouri. Get out of here, Jack. Don't act like this is Antarctica and we don't have football players in Missouri or Kansas.
Hey, you had
you can
seven.
Kiss my ass. You can kiss my ass on that. Like we're, oh, the skiing championship. Shut up.
7 D1 off
the team. How many D1 guys did you have at your school? Probably a lot. But
No. Seven's a lot for the state of Texas, too, unless you're talking about North Shore over here. They got about 20 of them.
Come on, man. Get out of here.
I guarantee you Lock Dog didn't play ball with more than seven in a year.
I mean, don't tell me I'm from Kansas, damn it. That's a big thing.
You had a sack and a half in the state championship game.
I did, man. I did. I'll tell you, I didn't
I ain't
going
to tell them about Temple shaking you in the hole, but you
Tony
you got
Temple,
you
another. Yeah, Tony Temple. He ran all over y'all asses at Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl.
Hey, what'd I do? I what? Mean, in the Cotton Bowl. Now you're shooting
I'm sorry,
at me.
I just didn't do anything.
Shooting,
but he did. Go look up that game. But he did. He shook me in the hole, man. My shoes are still at that stadium right now. Just shook me up. All right, coming up, get your football fix, and we'll be joined by the General Hall of Famer, John McClain. Coming up, Clint Sterner's Football at 4. The number one asshead.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.